the dust has finally cleared from the June Democratic mayoral primary in New York City, and Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams has emerged as the winner, making him all but guaranteed to be the city's next mayor. In light of the contentious relationship between the current New York City mayor, Bill de Blasio, and Governor Andrew Cuomo, we wanted to consider the potential working relationship of Cuomo and Adams and discuss the next mayor's ability to navigate state government more broadly. To do all of that, we're joined by Alyssa Katz, deputy editor for The City, an independent nonprofit newsroom covering New York, which you can find online at thecity.nyc. Welcome to the show, Alyssa.
Thank you for having me.
For listeners who might not know Eric Adams, can you give us a brief overview of his resume?
Sure. No, he's a very interesting history. So Adams most recently and still is the Brooklyn Borough president, which is at this stage in history a largely ceremonial role. A lot of it is just being a kind of cheerleader for Brooklyn, but also with some responsibilities, some ability to fund projects, also advises on real estate development, which in Brooklyn, where Adams is the borough president, you know, is really a very big issue as Brooklyn's been going through a boom kind of continuously throughout his term. Before that, folks may remember that he was a member of the state Senate from about 2007 to 2013. And he had been involved, you know, in these moments in around 2009 when, you know, the Senate had been Republican controlled for many years, and there was kind of a brief moment where some Democrats were able to kind of wrestle power, and he was aligned with those Democrats, you know, while representing a district in central Brooklyn around Bedford-Stuyvesant slash near Prospect Park, the central Brooklyn, largely African-American and Caribbean community. And you know, he had really parlayed his previous history into that public office where he had been an NYPD officer rising to the rank of captain, but in that also had simultaneously been an activist fighting for reform of the NYPD from the inside. He'd founded an organization called 100 Black Men in Law Enforcement Who Care. It still exists as 100 Blacks in Law Enforcement. And, you know, he had really been very outspoken about issues that I think now are very much in the public eye and in the focus of change, but issues like excessive use of stop and frisk or police just discrimination more broadly against young people of color and how they patrol their communities. All of that stuff were things that Adams had really highlighted along with colleagues back in the 1990s and 2000s, and especially focusing on expanding recruitment of Black officers into the NYPD to make it a more responsive force. So, you know, he's had a sort of multifaceted career where, you know, he's been in electoral politics, but it kind of came out of this grassroots reform within Brooklyn.
How has Governor Andrew Cuomo reacted to the primary victory?
Well, you know, I think right after, and of course it was a slow victory in the
right
sense that this is the first time New York City has had ranked choice voting. And so it was pretty clear on primary night in June that Adams had won, but it took a couple more weeks to kind of get greater clarity about that victory. But at each stage, or certainly his initial reactions, Governor Cuomo was complimentary. You know, had said that Adams, you know, if he wins the general election, would be a good leader for New York City. I mean, the tone is really positive, which really stands in contrast to think how, you know, this sort of rather notoriously Cuomo has interacted with New York City's current mayor, Bill de Blasio, where, you know, it's I think that, you know, we can talk more about this, that the narrative about Cuomo and de Blasio has been often kind of cast as one of Cuomo just kind of constantly punching or spiting de Blasio, and, you know, the city needs this or that from Albany, and then Cuomo fighting back. But I think what we started hearing in Cuomo's reactions to Adams is it's a little bit about just the changing of the guard, but also a lot about, I think, a different style of politics and governing, where Adams, in contrast to de Blasio, is kind of has a more pragmatic mindset around some of the big issues, or at least that's his rhetoric. And it's more aligned in a lot of ways with where Cuomo comes from, where, you know, they identify an issue and say, okay, here's how we're going to deal with it, and then engage in the kind of give and take around getting something done. Very different than de Blasio, where de Blasio has come in with a very kind of very ideological mindset of like, okay, we're going to take the progressive position and we're going to fight for that progressive position and we're going to fight till we win. If the governor stands in the way, well, you know, we will raise issues with the governor about that. So, you know, Cuomo, I think, was very complimentary about Adams, sort of recognizing someone who's, you know, prepared to negotiate and prepared to have some give and take between the city and state in a way that just wasn't de Blasio's posture initially.
In case you're just joining us, we're talking about the ability of New York City mayoral frontrunner Eric Adams to navigate the state capitol if and when he takes office. And our guest is Alyssa Katz, deputy editor for The City. When we think about this relationship between the city government and the state government, why is it important for the mayor of New York City to have, I guess, a good relationship with the governor and be able to navigate Albany?
My goodness, there's so many reasons, but I'll just list three right now, just I think each of which is very emblematic. Some of the stuff is very basic, like the New York City does not have the power to tax, for example, other than property taxes. All other taxes in New York City are a creature of state law, have to be set by the legislature and governor. And, you know, when you think about it, New York City has a budget that's now approaching $100 million, you know, some of that.
$100 billion.
Boosted by the, you know, some federal COVID aid, but facing some pretty dire economic circumstances with, you know, many office buildings vacant and sort of real questions about the future of the tax base. And to think that the next mayor will have no ability in the city council, will have no ability on their own to really change the basic ground rules about how we tax, you know, actually including the ground rules about property taxes, but income taxes, corporate taxes, everything else. So that's just one example, but a very, very important one for New York City. Another huge issue for New York City, where we have huge dependence on Albany, is are the subways and buses. The MTA is fundamentally a creature of the state. You know, the subways and mass transit are the lifeblood of the city. You absolutely need a strong relationship with the governor and the legislature to really kind of make that work, get it funded correctly, get it managed correctly, and serve the people of New York City and the region. And I think a third example that relates very directly to transit but kind of shows, you know, if New York City wants to make progress in how we operate as a city, you know, Adams has been talking a lot since his nomination and during his campaign about congestion pricing, which is this years-long plan to charge private vehicles for, you know, crossing into the core of Manhattan. Basically say, look, this isn't a right, it's a privilege, and you have to pay for it. And under Governor Cuomo's plan for congestion pricing, which did pass the legislature a couple of years ago, the funding would go to mass transit, would go to pay for the subways and buses. But we're still waiting in New York City for any details, right, about how much the charge will be. Will it only apply certain days and certain times? How will that money be managed? There are a huge number of questions that we urgently need action on. And Adams has already been talking about this. So he absolutely needs Cuomo and I believe Cuomo has a task force working on this to quickly come up with not just a plan, but a timeline and action so that we can begin congestion pricing and begin to have both the environmental traffic congestion and economic benefits of that.
So we've been focusing on the relationship between Adams and Cuomo, but Adams is also going to have at least some sort of relationship with the state legislature. And as you mentioned, Adams was formerly a member of the state Senate. But do you think that experience is going to be helpful in terms of how he tries to get things through the legislature, or because the makeup of the chamber and the way the chambers operate compared to then and now are so different, he is going to have to essentially start from scratch?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think it remains to be seen exactly what that relationship looks like. I think, you know, you now have this, you know, Democratic supermajority and a lot of kind of progressive lawmakers who, you know, don't have a total clear path to legislative victory on every issue, but still really do define a lot of issues. And one really important example of this, I think, are the bail reforms that the progressives in the legislature and, you know, and certainly the leadership and ultimately Governor Cuomo signed off on that, you know, do play a role. I mean, if you ask the NYPD leadership, if you ask Mayor de Blasio, and certainly if you ask Eric Adams, I think all each in their own way has been very clear that one thing that needs to happen to more appropriately address crime and align the criminal justice system is, you know, we already had one round of reforms after the initial bill to address certain issues of, you know, chronic repeat offenders who, you know, could not be incarcerated even when they were serious risk to public safety. I think that that continues to be an issue. And I think Adams, I expect, will be vocal and nuanced in how he's pursuing reform and making demands, but whether the leadership in the legislature, you know, is kind of there with him, or whether they're going to be really concerned, you know, which is understandable that, you know, we don't want to go back on really landmark criminal justice reforms. There's a sort of sense of defeat in that to say, well, you know, it's so hard won to change bail and remove, you know, pretrial incarceration for so many people, and then to now sort of admit defeat and say, well, you know, we screwed up, this was wrong, is a very hard thing to do. So how Adams kind of bridges that, and I think this is kind of where his skill set lies politically, right? He sort of was both an NYPD captain, but also a reformer in the system. And that's kind of been his approach to the campaign, has been to sort of, you know, try to build a bridge between the reformers really demanding a real rollback of the criminal justice system, and then also a real sense of, like, look, there are public safety concerns. Let's think about better ways to address crime and safety risks that aren't sort of just strictly punitive and not constructive. So I expect he will come out with or will be supporting policy responses, further reforms to pretrial incarceration that would kind of be a kind of third way, right? He likes to do that. Whether that actually gets through the legislature and through the governor is another story.
Well, we've been speaking with Alyssa Katz. She is the deputy editor for The City, an independent nonprofit newsroom covering New York, which you can find online at thecity.nyc. Alyssa, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Of course. This is fun.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. UnionStrongNY.com for more information.